I'm speaking today with Volker Radiloff. How did I do with my pronunciation?
Very good. I'm impressed.
You're a professor, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking today about your research in land use. You look at a lot of satellite data. Maybe you could just give us an overview, because your research really ranges a lot in terms of geographic area.
Yes, I'm happy to. About a third of my work is in the U.S., and I work a lot with the Forest Service and look at housing development in forested areas and how it relates to wildfires and wildlife habitat. Another third is in Russia and Eastern Europe, where after the collapse of the Soviet Union, land has changed very quickly. A lot of agricultural land has been abandoned, forests coming back in large areas. And then another third is scattered all over. I have a student from Thailand. I work in the Serengeti in Argentina and Mexico. What I'm interested in, as you said, is how land is changing and what that means for wildlife and for conservation.
And what are the nuts and bolts of your research process? You take this data from NASA, as I understand it.
Yeah, I use satellite images. So they're photos taken from space. Each photo is about 100 by 100 miles in size. So we look at large areas, and we can't see the number plates of a car or anything like that, but we can see the forest, the type of agriculture, the type of trees, and so forth. These photos have been taken since the mid-70s, and they've been archived, so we can look at the same place over time and see how it changes. We can see patterns of urbanization, and as I mentioned, this agricultural abandonment.
Many scientists' research is extremely specialized, whereas yours is much more general. Instead of looking at one lake in great detail, you're looking at a broader overview. What are the kinds of things that you can learn from this big scale that you deal with?
Part of it is that maybe somewhat of a scientific butterfly, or so interested in different places. But I think the broad scale really helps us to get at the more fundamental questions. For instance, whether I have private land ownership or public land ownership, how is that affecting how the land is used? In Eastern Europe, Poland embraced private land ownership after the collapse of socialism. Ukraine did not. They're right next to each other. They have the same environment, same climate, same soils, and we see very different effects on land, how land is used and so forth, where we see a lot of illegal logging in the Ukraine. We see very little of that in Poland. And so that's where the broad look really helps to get at these more general patterns that just the one specific study site could not show.
Are there any surprising findings? Like, let's take Russia and Eastern Europe that you've mentioned a few times. Has there been anything that surprised you from your findings there?
Yeah, the magnitude of the agricultural abandonment. And we looked at the area around Chernobyl after the reactor exploded, and of course right around it, because the area was mandatory evacuation zone, there was a lot of abandonment of agriculture. But then that happened in 86, 5 years later, after 1991, we see the same rates of abandonment over large swaths of Ukraine and Russia and so forth. And that just highlights how much the changes in the political system, the collapse of socialism or so, how that affected the land. And before our work, we had no idea how widespread the abandonment was.
In some ways, hearing you talk about the data collection and the analysis, it almost seems like you're part reporter. You know, you're traveling to Russia and reporting on what patterns are happening there.
That's true. And not sure I had thought about it that way, but I would agree. And I think that's also part of what I see my role as a scientist at, is to document the changes and maybe to outline what our options on how Russia or other parts could look like in the future. It's not my job to pick one of those. That's what politicians and societies ought to do. But having a good pulse on the planet, how it's changing, I think is important.
Do you see success stories happening in terms of human impact on wildlife and the environment, or do you see a bleak picture?
I see both. And the bleak picture would be in Russia, I mean, species like saiga antelope, which have just been decimated by poaching. But other species like brown bears, which is the same as grizzly here, they've come back in great numbers and in places where they hadn't been for 100 years. So that's a real hopeful sign that nature has an amazing ability to recover if we let it.
Well, Volker Radiloff, thank you so much for speaking with me today and for traveling up to the North Woods to talk to us.
Thanks, it was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun.